Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible's famous prodigal son demanded his inheritance and spent it all in a big hurry. When you hit bottom, you know there's not much farther to go. Reduced to eating with the pigs, he realized he needed to come home and face the dad who'd begged him not to leave. Today, what it takes to get a prodigal to reverse direction. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes his brief series on two prodigal sons. We're in the book of Luke, learning about the prodigal who came home.
The illusion of independence. Like that kid I told you about over at Water Tower that I saw. In this little, he was maybe 2 years old, and he was in one of these little push carts and that had a little steering wheel. And he's steering this thing to the right and crying he wants to go to the right. But his mother is just leading him gently to the left. And his steering wheel is not tied to anything that has significance. You know what I mean? Listen, if you're living for sin, you're not in control. Jesus said that you are the servant of sin. Sin tells you do this, and you do it. The illusion of control. Well, 4 days later, October 23rd, clinging to God's promise and forgiveness and belief in Jesus, I cried up to God, and he answered me with an overpowering sense of his presence and love. I now understood how he had refused to give up on me, how he had pursued me through many years despite my repeated rejection of his love and grace. And I surrendered the control of my life to him. And now he says my spiritual growth is stuck on fast forward. And he thanks Moody Church and others who have helped him in the transformation of his life. I just need to pause here today. How are you all doing out there? You tracking with me? What will it take for some of you stubborn people to give yourself to God? What will it take? How many sermons are you going to have to listen to? How many songs are you going to have to sing before you say, you know what? This is the illusion of my own control. I give myself to God. What is it going to take? I'm only asking you the question. And you prodigals, hurry to the Father. Well, you know the rest of the story. This kid says to himself, I'm going back to my father because, you know, even his servants are better off than I am. I wish he had better motivation. I wish he'd say, you know, I'm going to my father because I broke his heart. No, the kid goes because he's hungry. But the father's so gracious, he receives him anyway. And so he gives his speech and says, you know, I've sinned against heaven and against thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He can't get out the last words, make me as a hired servant, because his father is smothering him with kisses. Because the father's waiting, you see. The father lost all interest in the farm. He was constantly looking down the road. That's why the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran to him and kissed him. The kid is saying, I'm just a servant now. And the father says, bring hither the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Servants didn't wear shoes. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, for this my son was dead and is alive and is lost and is found. Let's have a party. Oh, sure, there's some things we're going to have to talk about tomorrow. But for tonight, let's party. And you find that the elder brother, of course, was not amused. And the elder brother is actually the heart of the story. Jesus was saying to you Pharisees, you know, you're criticizing me for welcoming sinners and eating with the drunkards and the prostitutes and connecting with those kinds of people. And look at that. And you're not rejoicing about the fact that these people are coming to the Father. And all that you can think of is, why do they deserve such love and grace? Look at us. We've been in this church for 30 years. Look at what we've done. And we don't even have those kinds of blessings. And you know what happened with the older brother is, even though he was a son, he lived like a slave. The father says, don't you understand? Everything that I have is yours. Enjoy it. Throw your own party. But legalists never do that, do they? The bottom line, my friends, today is simply this, that the Father's waiting. the Father, who is God. And God says, I have made provision for you to come back home. I sent my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners, so that if you receive me and if you seek my forgiveness and my transformation, I will accept you. All the reluctance is on your part. How much does God love us? Well, Jesus stretched out his hands like this and said, so much. That's how great the love of God is. The reluctance, the stubbornness is on your part. It's not on God's part, because he's gracious and merciful. And he's waiting for sinners just like you to come home. And he's saying, how long are you going to hold out from my blessings? Don't you know that sin is an illusion? Don't you know that it boomerangs and the consequences come in? So hurry, hurry to the Father. One more letter from a prodigal. Now, the thing about this prodigal is a girl brought up in a fine Christian home where there's love and acceptance, all right? Let me read her story. She says, when I was a teenager, I made a very grave mistake. I ran away from home, not like most rebellious kids run away from home with a night at a friend's house, but with a bag of clothes set on the porch. I really ran away, she said. Now, I have to tell you in parentheses, she had a number of children from various men along the way. The far country is a terrible place. It's a terrible place. For nearly 3 months, no one knew where I was. I did not run away because I was treated badly. In fact, I was spoiled. I was not abused. I was not neglected in any way. I was constantly nurtured and encouraged in all areas of my life. But I guess in my radical teenage mind, listen, teenagers, in my radical teenage mind, I felt that the few simple rules I had been given were barring my freedom and keeping me from really seeing the world, the illusion of independence. Well, when things were no longer fun, and now we're talking over a period of years, I called home. Nearly 30 years later, she says, I remember my father's loving response. I called him collect from 1,000 miles away, sobbing on the other end of the line. He did not ask me to tell him the bad things I had done. He did not even ask me where I was at or even if I was ready to come home. The first thing he said was, what can I do to help you? Now, here's a parenthesis. You parents of prodigals, you have to prepare your own heart for your prodigal to come home. You may be standing in the way of your prodigal coming back home. You know what, at prayer meeting, one woman said this. I mean, where could you find such beautiful insight? She stood up and she said, you know, here's my son over here. Here's Jesus over here. But he can't see Jesus because I am in the way with my critical spirit. Isn't that powerful? So why would this son want to come home with a critical, judgmental mother? She has to repent of her own sin and welcome her prodigal back. Well, anyway, she says, many of us would not have received such a merciful response from our earthly parents. The prodigal's father loaded him with blessings, and yet he ran away. She's referring to that. And then she came back. She came back to her parents, and she came back. Now, she was married for part of the time and so forth. Very, very, you know, life is a mess when you get into the far country. And I'll simply end by saying, she says, even if you've wasted all he's given you, he wants to bless you again. The father said to the prodigal that he would have the best robe and put a ring on his hand. And she ends by saying, it's not too late. And even if you're far away, as soon as you make up your mind to come home, he will meet you. Angels celebrate your return, which is true. Jesus said that even the angels celebrate when one soul repents. Now I need to tell you the rest of the story. This woman came to Moody Church here with her father several months ago, and she came because she had terminal cancer. And I was actually asked if I could do her funeral and would have been very glad to, accept that I was out of town when she died. So she is now in heaven. But at least the last years of her life were spent in fellowship with the Father. And what happens is God begins to take the messes, and begins to send some snowfall to cover the ugly ruts and to begin to put your life together. The bottom line is this: God sent Jesus so that the vilest of sinners who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Your bonds of sin are strong, yes, but you know, Jesus is there to forgive and to help and to restore you. So prodigals, whether you're saved or unsaved, those of you who are saved, you're backslidden, those of you who never have trusted Christ as Savior, you're a prodigal too. You come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Now, Father, what more can we say? Only you can overcome the blindness and the deceptions of our hearts, all the lies we tell ourselves that we so willingly believe. Who is there, Father, who's able to reach into the heart and deal with the anger that keeps a prodigal away from God? Who is there except you? Now, I want you to pray. No matter where you are listening to this message, whether on the radio, in the church, over the internet, you talk to God right now. Father, we throw ourselves helplessly in your presence and simply say, you do the work that we can't. We've done what we could do. We've rolled the stone away, but you need to say, Lazarus, come forth. Would you do that, we pray in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you know, as a pastor, throughout the years, I've taken a great deal of interest in human nature. I know something about human nature because I know something about myself. We are people, aren't we, who love to deceive ourselves. There are some of you who are in the far country today, and you're telling yourself that there's no way you're going to go back to the Father, no way you're going to come to Jesus Christ and admit your need and be reconciled to the only one who really does love you. That is a deception. Overcome that by God's grace and say today, in light of the fact that this prodigal was welcomed back to the Father and the Father welcomed him so wondrously, what a picture that is of God and how he welcomes wayward sinners. And when you do that, would you let us know? Go to our website, moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Click on the contact button and let us hear your story. We'd love to know about it. Because Running to Win exists so that we can help others understand the gospel and above all, come to saving faith in Christ or be reconciled. If you've previously believed on Christ, but you're living a backslidden life, at the end of the day, aren't you glad we have a Father who welcomes prodigals?
Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded a brief series on two prodigal sons. We hope you've enjoyed it. The life of Jesus is full of lessons for all of us. Next time on Running to Win, join us for a series called Come and See Jesus. Both messages on the two prodigal sons can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.